Hey, dear listener, Anthony here. Before we hop into the show, I wanted to let you know about an incredible new resource we just released, The 5 Rules of Investing. Dan and I are huge advocates of modeling the behaviors of the people who have done what you hope to do. And who better to model when it comes to investing than legendary investors like Warren Buffett, Howard Marks, and Ray Dalio? This free ebook breaks down the simple time-tested strategies of billionaire real estate investors that you can use to take your investing to the next level. So head over to InvictusMultifamily.com and grab your ebook today. All right, now let's hop into the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. Now, if you're getting into the real estate game, chances are you started small, right? That's what everybody tells you to do, start small.
Unless you're GC.
Well, GC's...
What's his number now? It's got to be like 200 million or more, or yeah. You're just a huge pussy.
Well, what I find funny about him is he started small. He started with single families. He just doesn't like to talk about it. But like, I think it's actually very smart to start small, not necessarily with single families, but starting with like a duplex, triplex, quad. That's what I did. You started with 6, like smallish, but I think a lot of listeners are probably at that point where maybe they did a single family, they did a duplex, and now they're thinking, I want to jump. I want to make that jump to multifamily. Which is why you're listening to Multifamily Investing Made Simple. But you don't know what to expect, right? Like, as you move from the single world to the multi-mingle world.
Where, is this like a dating app?
Yeah, you have to leave your keys in the fishbowl at the closing table. And it gets crazy. It gets buck wild.
Which title company is this you go to?
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Wait, we like to use Land Title. Great people.
Shout out.
They give you tiny walls.
Larry Mountain.
Yeah, we did a lot of signing there. But anyways, what we're going to do in this episode is just break down for you if you're trying to make that transition from the smaller assets, a duplex, single family, triplex, whatever, up to commercial. Like you're like, I want to get a 5 unit, I want to get 10 unit, 50 unit. Here are 3 things that you should be aware that are different.
Yeah, there's only 3 differences.
Only 3.
Surprisingly. Things.
Yeah, we sat here and racked our brains for like 20 minutes.
We came struggled.
Up with 3 things. So these must be the only 3 things, or
we know everything and this is it.
Could be. So. Could be that we know everything, or maybe we do not.
We know nothing. But we can tell you the 3 things we do know.
Here we go. Yep.
Let's do it.
Kick it off. What do you got?
Number 1, in a very specific order this time. Just kidding. No particular order. I think I'm going to start with this one just because I think this actually probably is one of the most important ones. And this was your idea. The management systems that you need to effectively execute the operations of a multi-unit building versus a single family house with one resident. You know, there's just a lot more moving pieces, more of everything, more work orders, more leases, more people. Mm-hmm.
Everything across the board. It's like if you could get by on a single family or even a triplex with really just a notebook and kind of track everything in there, and you could get by fairly. I know people that do not have any systems, but as soon as you start getting, I would say, once you have more units than you have fingers on one hand, you need to have a system in place because you're going to quickly drop balls, whether that's, you know, like CRPs at the beginning of the year, or that's, you know, maintenance requests, or just figuring out like, hey, who put what security deposit into what when, right? Yeah. Like even that can be confusing if you don't have a system for it.
CRPs is a good one because I remember year one for me, it was 1/6 unit, pretty manageable. So my first go around with those was not a big deal. I had to go back and like collect a bunch of data because I wasn't keeping track of, you know, who paid what for what periods, the move-ins and whatnot. But then the next year, I want to say it was like 30 to 40 units or something I had across 4 buildings, and it was infinitely more complex.
Suddenly a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. So that can get out of hand real quick. So that's a good one.
And for listeners who don't know what CRP is, that's just Certificate of Rent Paid.
Yeah.
And that's one that you don't hear a lot about until January rolls around, and then suddenly, somehow, hopefully, somebody tells you.
One of your residents is going to ask you where it is, and you're like, what's that?
You're like, let me Google what that is real quick. And so Google will help you. It's not super hard, but it is something that you have to do. And it's just one of those things that, like, if you don't have a system for it, it becomes a nightmare. And that's kind of the MO of all multifamily. One building, one 10 unit, not a problem. 3 10 units, 5 buildings, it becomes very complicated very quickly as you're like, which address was that again? Like, hopefully you get to the point where your portfolio is big enough where you start to forget the addresses of the buildings that you have, but that will happen very quickly at some point. So having a system seriously helps.
Yeah, 100%. Next one on here is debt. Now this one's got a few different components to it. First thing I thought of in this regard that's different from a single family to a larger multifamily, and I hear this from a lot of newer investors who are looking to get into the spaces, you're not going to get into a multifamily property with 5% down or 10% down. You could do that when you buy a house, but you're going to be putting down, you know, a couple of years ago when rates were lower, you could probably get away with 20% on the low end, but these days at least 25% down just to get in there. And there's a few other debt components.
And that's a big number.
It is.
That's a big number.
That shocks people. They're coming totally. In like, I'll put 5 to 10% down, say, no, double that.
So if you're buying like a 10 unit for $1 million, you're coming to the table just with 250 right there. And that's not even all the other things that you need on top of that for
that
CapEx.
Leaves you with $0 to do anything.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So that really throws people. The other part of that is we've talked about the difference between a residential and a commercial loan where, you know, the residential is going to be underwritten based off of your finances. The commercial is going to be off the finances of the building. So that's a really nice thing that makes it easier in a lot of ways.
On that note, too, that is true. However, when it is your first deal, the bank is going to look at your personal situation a little bit more than they might to somebody like us who's got, you know, a track record of operations. So don't get too excited for that first deal. The bank is probably going to be looking at you pretty hard. Like, yeah, this asset technically works, but you don't have much experience. So can you afford this thing?
Good luck. The other side, on the commercial side, there's so many new terms like prepayment penalty, interest only period. Like these are things that never come up probably on a primary residence. And then things like the amortization period being different than the term, right? Like that one can really throw people. I remember that one kind of threw me off when I first started being like on a single family home or a duplex, the amortization period, let's say is 30 years. Usually the term it matches that. So it's also 30 years. And usually you have a choice. Like, do I want to do the 15-year term or the 30-year term? Right, like those are your two choices,
but that's not really. And then when you get to the end, you're done. There's no balloon payment.
Yeah,
but larger multifamily, you might have a 25 or 30 year amortization, so your payments, your monthly payments, reflect a 25 to 30 year loan. But then somewhere, maybe you're 3, 5, 7, 10, the whole balance is due. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's a new concept for people coming from single family for sure.
That'll throw you off. All right, what's our last one?
The brokers. The brokers.
This is a quick and easy one. Yeah. In the single family world, you probably go get your best friend who's a broker, or everybody's got a real estate license, right? He then gets you on the MLS, and then when you go look at properties, there's a broker on the seller side as well, and the two brokers kind of negotiate for you. Well, that is not how multifamily works. You do not have your own broker. The seller does not have their own broker. There's usually just one broker on the deal. They tend to represent the seller, and they do the negotiating for both halves, sort of. It's very awkward.
They work for the seller.
Yeah, so, but you will have no advantage by bringing your own broker to the table. You will only make yourself look like a newbie, and you will make it very hard for anybody to want to give you the deal because nobody wants to split their brokerage fee with your broker.
Yeah, that's the big part, is it's not only going to make you look like a newbie, like Anthony just said, the listing agent is expecting to make his commission. And when you show up with a broker, he sees his paycheck getting cut in half. So he has no incentive.
He doesn't like you.
He doesn't like your broker. Don't do it.
Yeah. And asking him, hey, will he split his fee with your guy? Like, not a good question to ask. No. So just don't even do it. Just don't go get your own broker. Don't sign any exclusivity agreements. That's also not a thing in the space. So
it could be. I've been asked.
Don't sign it.
It doesn't need to be, though. Yeah. It's very common in single family for residential, you know, a first-time home buyer just looking for, like, a residence to live in. Yeah. Like, I get why people might do that. But if you're an investor, you are severely limiting yourself if you sign that, because then you can only do a deal that one guy shows you.
Yep.
So don't do it.
So those are the only three differences between single family, multifamily. You get your head wrapped around these. You're good to go. Go ahead and make the leap whenever you're ready. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Multifamily Investing Made Simple. If you enjoyed the show, could you do us a massive favor? Head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. Your feedback, it means the world to us as it helps us grow and spread the word about multifamily investing. And don't forget, sharing is caring. So fire this episode over to any friends or family who you think could benefit from learning all about multifamily investing. Thanks, guys. We appreciate every single one of you, and we'll see you on the next show.